Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we've got a couple of updates on NHTSA's ongoing investigation on Tesla's automated driving assistance system, finally an update from Elon on the Roadster, the new Gigafactories as well, then some news on Rivian, and more. Tesla stock dropped a bit throughout the day, finishing down 0.2% to $734.09. That compared to the NASDAQ up about 0.3%. All right, so today we got our first update on NHTSA's preliminary evaluation of Tesla's automated driving assistance system. I'll assume everyone is familiar with the background on that, but basically NHTSA looking into crashes of Tesla vehicles with first responders or law enforcement roadside. Initially, the incident list was 11 of these crashes, but as we talked about a few days ago, another one did just recently occur in Orlando, so that has now officially been added to the incident list as well, bringing the total up to 12. The other news is that yesterday, NHTSA sent a letter to Tesla informing them of the investigation. Obviously, Tesla would have been aware of that already, but informing them of the investigation and requesting a significant amount of information from Tesla. The letter is 11 pages. Sometimes these source files can be a little bit tricky to find, so I will put the link to the PDF in the description. We won't go through point by point, that's why the link is there if you do want to do that, but NHTSA basically looking for 11 major categories of information from Tesla, all pretty highly detailed. Just as a couple of examples, they're looking for a list of every vehicle that Tesla has manufactured, the model, model year, the date of manufacture, of warranty, whether or not it has the FSD option, when that was enabled, if it does, then mileage and firmware version, basically just a overarching view of, okay, what does the fleet look like right now? Then they want Tesla to state the number of incidents of customer complaints, field reports, reports involving a crash, injury or fatality, property damage claims, arbitrations, and lawsuits. So, okay, of the total fleet, how many of them are involved in some sort of incident? Then for that set, all of the details Tesla has about each of those individual incidents, all the documents, telematics, data that Tesla may have, a bunch of details about autopilot, such as the operational design domain. So basically the intended use case, how that was communicated to customers, etc., etc. Beyond that, the point that stuck out to me probably the most was point 8. NHTSA asked Tesla to, quote, describe Tesla's strategies for detecting and responding to the presence of first responder slash law enforcement vehicles and incident scene management tactics, whether in or out of the roadway during subject system operation in the subject vehicles, end quote. They asked Tesla to describe their incident scene detection, so flashing lights, road flares, cones, reflective vests, things of that nature. Then what effect low light conditions have on that, and then they asked Tesla to list the subject system behaviors, so basically how does Tesla respond to those things. So I think that area combined with the frequency of incident, those are kind of the two linchpins for this investigation. We've talked about the frequency before. From a cursory look, it didn't seem very alarming, but we don't have all the data to support that. NHTSA will, based on all this information that they're asking for, fleet size, including mileage, so I'm sure they'll consider those things, and then just scene response. Hopefully Tesla will have some good things to share there in terms of the move over to vision only, like we talked about before. So in terms of timeline, it's probably going to be a while before we hear more. Tesla has until October 22nd to submit this information to NHTSA. They could apply for an extension if they wanted. If they failed to do either, which is probably pretty unlikely, they'd be subject to a fine for not doing that of up to $115 million. Now, that doesn't mean that Tesla could just pay $115 million and it would all just go away. That would just be the fine for missing a deadline. Anyway, that's the latest on the NHTSA situation. Not a huge update, but did see some media coverage on that today, so I wanted to go through the details. In more exciting news, we did get an update today on the next generation Roadster, Elon replying to a question about an update on that now that the tri-motor plaid is out. Elon said, quote, 2021 has been the year of super crazy supply chain shortages, so it wouldn't matter if we had 17 new products, as none would ship. Assuming 2022 is not mega drama, new Roadster should ship in 2023, end quote. So hopefully that's not too surprising. Over the next 12 months, Tesla is definitely going to be focused mostly on 4680 production, getting Gigafactories Berlin and Texas ramped up. And then of course you've got the Cybertruck and the Semi. So there's just a lot that Tesla has to work on, probably taking priority over the Roadster. So for a while now, I've been expecting 2023 kind of at the earliest, and it actually probably would have picked 2024 if I had to pick one. So probably about the best update that we could have hoped for here from Elon, and we'll see. Obviously tentative target, but hopefully they can hit that 2023 date. Elon also shared some thoughts on Giga Berlin in a reply to K10, who had commented that she was really looking forward to the new paint colors, which Giga Berlin paint shop should enable. Elon replied saying, quote, I was in the Berlin paint shop talking to the team on my last visit. It's going to be great. But bear in mind that it takes about a year for a new factory to reach volume production. Production is super hard work, which is why I have great respect for those who do it, end quote. So nice to hear that reaffirmation on the Berlin paint shop. And then on production, we touched on this a little bit yesterday or earlier this week on the Model Y from Texas. So just to kind of round out that context for what a first year from a factory could look like, if we look at Shanghai over 2020, Tesla produced 154,000 Model 3s after really starting production around November of 2019, but not really getting it going until the start of 2020. But looking at the production rates on a weekly basis, you can see that that really took a step change up sort of in the fourth quarter of 2020 from around 2,800 per week in Q3 up to 5,100 per week in Q4. I think generally Elon refers to volume production as being 5,000 per week or so. So yep, right around a year for Tesla to get to that level with Shanghai from starting production. Now, of course, there was a pandemic in the middle of that, so you need to factor that in too. And hopefully Tesla can accelerate those timelines with each new attempt. But again, just helpful context to have as we hopefully are getting close here to both Texas and Berlin starting production. Next year, we've got an interesting little FSD teaser. This is from an autopilot analyst at Tesla who tweeted out, quote, "A good milestone for checking whether your product is ready to launch is whenever the team is willing to wear said product as a t-shirt," end quote. Then he shares an image of the basically full self-driving visualization printed out on a t-shirt. It says full self-driving beta and Tesla engineering on it as well. Now, I wouldn't read too much into that. The same account did say that they don't know the actual release timeline to customers, but that it's probably sooner rather than later based on current public statements, probably referring to what Elon has said on Twitter. I do agree, though, probably a pretty decent sign to see it on a shirt. Next up here, just a quick hitter from Testmanian. They shared a couple of photos from the China DMV of a bunch of Model Ys sitting there waiting to register their vehicles. Kind of a sight to see. I'm not reading too much into it in terms of delivery numbers or anything like that. Of course, earlier this week, we talked about the rumored 10,400 domestic deliveries for August, and we should get some more conclusive reporting on that next week. I think pictures like this are probably foreshadowing for what should be a pretty strong month for domestic deliveries, I think, for September. All right, last item here then, I just wanted to spend a little bit of time on the recent Motor Trend review of the Rivian R1T electric truck, which they call, quote, "the most remarkable pickup truck we've ever driven," end quote. As a part of the opening, they write, quote, "It's been speculated that pickup buyers are too conservative to embrace electrification, but after our first drive in a pre-production Rivian R1T, both on-road and off, we think this is the electric truck that will turn them into believers," end quote. They especially liked the four-motor setup, allowing for individual torque vectoring on each wheel, in addition to, of course, all the normal electric vehicle benefits that we all are well aware of. Just about the only things that Motor Trend didn't really like were the rear seats. They didn't find them particularly comfortable, and they had some complaints about the user interface, some of which I think are not super well-founded, some are. For example, they said that the touch UI has a high learning curve, but if you're going to buy a vehicle and keep it for 5 years, is a high learning curve really all that much of a detriment? For me, I don't really think so. Obviously, you can take that to the extreme and it could become a problem, but I don't think the problem is an inherent one, though the UI from the video that Motor Trend did share did seem a little bit less than snappy. Sounds like it's not final production software though, so that may improve. We'll see. Unfortunately, not too many new details in terms of range or efficiency or anything like that, and Motor Trend certainly not bringing up any comparisons to the Cybertruck, but either way, it's exciting to see electrification start to enter this segment. So that is where we'll leave it for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, September 2nd episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.